Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe explains how to shake off old habits and patterns in order to pivot into the next season.
You have to get rid of some of the old lies, thoughts that come from the world, some of the old mentalities that you had in the old season when you were immature, when you hadn't grown, when you were still a baby in Christ. You can't bring an old mindset into the new season that God is calling you to.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Mark is the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago and president of Moody Bible Institute, and I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, Mark, happy anniversary, not to you and Dee, but to you and Bold Steps. This is our third anniversary here today to be on the radio together.
It's hard to believe that, and some of you listeners may have just joined us, so you may not know we have been on the air for three short years.
Praise
with
God,
Bold
huh?
Steps. So this is a great day. It's an anniversary. I want to say thank you for all your support. By the way, it's a great day, too, because our host, Wayne Shepherd, it's his birthday as well. And we're not going to tell you how many years he's been on the air. But happy birthday, Wayne.
Thank
you, Mark. We're celebrating an anniversary and a birthday on the same day.
We get two cakes today, don't we? All right. How about the message today? What's ahead now?
You know, we're in a series entitled, What Now? How to Move into Your Next Season. And this message is specifically about how to adjust our thinking as we move into a new season. You know, Wayne, sometimes an old way of thinking can keep dragging us back to an old season that we need to move out of. And so I think this is going to be relevant for a lot of people.
The message is titled, What Now? How to Move into Your Next Season. Mark has a book by the same title. We'll tell you more about that at the end of today's message. Let's get started.
Right here on this platform, there was a momentous occasion that happened in the Job family. My oldest son, Josiah, stood here nervously and emotionally with a beautiful bride, Carolina, in front of him. And he said, I do. And she said, I do. And as they stood in front of me, I had the privilege of speaking to them about marriage. I told both Josiah and Carolina, I said, you know, you walked into this place single, but you have to change your mindset. From now on, it's not me, it's we. It's not mine, it's ours. From now on, it's not one, but it's two. You're united together. And so the reality is that you will walk out here legally and spiritually married, but it will take a little while before your mindset, your new mindset, catches up to the fact that you're married. So you have to shed the singleness mindset as you go into the married season. And it's not just true of marriage, but it's true of pretty much every season that we go into, that we have to release a mindset, adjust a mindset to go into a new season. And so today I want to talk to you out of 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 27 of 2 Kings chapter 5. Why do you need to listen today? Well, you need to listen because there are a lot of people that get stuck at the border of a new season because they haven't figured out that they have to adjust their thinking. And so they get stuck at the border because you can't take an old mindset into a new season. And I'm going to talk to you today some principles out of the story of a man by the name of Naaman. And so I believe that God wants to speak to someone today. I believe that there's some people here with some faulty thinking. And the image that came to my mind as I was praying for you was that when I go to the airport, they put all my luggage through a scanner. And I have to take off my shoes and put my backpack. I have to take out my laptop. I have to put it through the machine. And the lady looks at the scanning machine to see if there's any weapons or any banned items that can't go on the plane. And if she finds something, she's got to take it out of the suitcase or backpack and leave it behind because I can't cross the border with something that doesn't belong on the other side. And that's the same way with our mindset, our thinking, lies that we embrace. Some of you are going into a new season, but God says, no, I'm not going to let you take that lie into this next season. So 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 27. I'm going to start reading in verse in chapter 5, verse 1. It says, now Naaman was commander of an army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to jot this down. Number one, you can be successful in one area of your life, but utterly defeated in another. Now, let me talk to you about Naaman for a moment. This iconic figure found in 2 Kings chapter 5. What we know about Naaman was that he had a stellar military career. He was honored. He was respected. He had brought about some significant victories. The Syrian commander had brought about significant victories for Aram, king of Aram. And he was honored and respected. He had medals. I imagine him with a chest full of medals. When his soldiers saw him, they would salute him. He was known throughout the area as just a man of valiant. He was honored in their parades. He was celebrated because he was a warrior that had won them many victories. But he had an area in his life that caused him great concern. An area of his life that sabotaged all of his victories. An area of his life that made him feel like he was a failure. He had no control over it. He was defeated. Naaman had leprosy. Now, we don't hear a lot about leprosy in today's world because it's virtually extinct in the Western world, but it's a terrible disease, a disease of the skin that is highly contagious, in which your nerve endings deteriorate and eventually your skin starts to turn colors, different colors, and then begins to die, begins to rot on your flesh, and people start losing fingers and their eyesight. Boils break out all over your body and eventually ends up in a ghastly death. Naaman had a disease that he could not control. And not only did he have a disease that he could not control, but this disease affected his interaction with his family. He was considered unclean. Maybe you felt that way before. Maybe you felt like in one area of your life, you're a great success and people honor you and celebrate it, but there's another area of your life where you just feel like an absolute failure, and your failure tends to sabotage your successes. You know, it's interesting. Your sixth grader comes home from school, and there's a report card, and they may have all A's and A minuses, but the one D that you see, and what does a parent ask? They don't say, wow, you've really done great. Our tendency is to look at the report card, and the first thing we want to say is, why'd you get a D? There's all A's, but we want to know why they got a D, because sometimes our successes can be sabotaged or overcome and undermined by our failures in one area. I think success spreads from one area of our life to the other, but I also believe that failure does as well. And so by this time, Naaman, who had a lot of riches, a lot of success, a lot of honor, he was obsessed with overcoming the one thing that was robbing him of his joy, of his contentment, of his success, of his honor. It was tearing his life apart, and it was called leprosy. The second thing I want you to understand is that you can approach a new season with the tools of an old mindset. So let's continue in the story with Naaman. It tells us in verse 4 that Naaman went to his master and he told him what the girl from Israel had said. You see, Naaman had led raids into Israel, and in one of those raids, they had picked up a slave girl, and she was a young girl. We don't know exactly how old she was, but she was a young girl, and they had taken her as a slave, and she was working in his household. And this little young girl who was from Israel, she believed in God, and she told the mistress, his wife, she said, "Hey, if Mr. Naaman would go to Israel, there's a prophet by the name of Elisha, and he serves a mighty God, and he could heal him if he could just go to Israel." Well, Naaman heard this, and his wife heard this, and like someone who's desperate for a solution, he decided, "I'm going to go into the land of the enemy, and I'm going to ask about this Elijah." So the Bible says that he went to his master, who was the king, and he told him what the girl from Israel had said. And the king said, "By all means, go." And so the king of Aram replied, "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of leprosy." I want you to understand that the dynamics of what was happening here is that God, oh, I love this about God. God orchestrates it so this little slave girl that's taken from her home becomes a missionary to a household that's a pagan household. I want you to think about that. You may be in a situation that you don't like right now, maybe a situation that you feel like you wouldn't have chosen that situation, but sometimes God places you in a household or in a situation that maybe you're complaining about and don't like, but God has placed you there. It is out of His sovereignty because He has a purpose and a plan for you. You may be in a work environment right now that you hate, that you can't stand, that you want to complain about every day and wonder why you have to be in that work environment without understanding that it's God and His sovereignty that has actually placed you there, because no one else will speak to that people unless you open up your mouth, and God has a purpose and a plan for you in an environment maybe that you didn't choose.
We'll continue today's message from Mark Job here in just a moment on Bold Steps. Mark, as we mentioned, this is our third anniversary for this particular radio program, and we have a team of people. You hear our voices on the radio, but it takes a team, a lot of people, to put this program together, including our producer, Steve Wick, our executive producer, Judy Crone, and other folks at the Moody Bible Institute.
Absolutely. This takes a whole team together. There's a lot of work behind the scenes. And Steve has been with us for a long time. He's the technical producer. Yep. Judy, as you mentioned, she's the executive producer as well, helps with all the content. And of course, our host, Wayne Shepherd, the voice.
Love working with this team.
And so we're so glad. And so many of the other people behind the scenes that help, that work with all the wires.
Yeah.
And all the technical stuff.
Well, here's a secret. The same team puts together another program. It's called Bold Steps Weekend.
That's right.
And this weekend, your message is what?
Yeah, so we're in the beginning of January, and there's a lot of people, as you look to a new year, sometimes you feel like, well, I'm stuck, or I'm in isolation. And so this particular message is out of a series called Unstuck, Out of Your Cave, Into Your Call, and How to Break Out of Isolation. You know, Wayne, people may not know this, but living in isolation, medical doctors tell us, is worse on your health than smoking an entire pack of cigarettes
a
day.
Wow.
Because the effects of isolation, the effects that it has on our body, are physically really damaging to our heart, our mind, and so many other areas. So for some of you, it's time to break out of isolation.
Yeah, we don't understand that. That's a good point. All right. Well, that message will be heard this weekend on many of these same radio stations and always online. Look for Bold Steps Weekend, and you'll find it at boldstepsradio.org. Now, it's still Friday, last time I checked, so let's go back into today's message here on Bold Steps with Mark Job.
But Naaman has an old mindset. He's used to power. He's used to the military command. And so, in essence, what he tries to do is he tries to take his old mindset of command and power and influence, and he tries to go to Israel to buy his healing. Notice, he takes a bunch of gold and silver and a letter from the king, which is influence and power. And in essence, he takes a letter to the king and all this silver and gold to say, hey, I'm going to give this to you if you heal me. You see, he's taken a business, a commander, a military mindset into a spiritual season of his life. And it backfires on him. You know, there's a lot of us that we have taken on certain mindsets from the place that we were raised or the setting that we've been in. And when we go into the spiritual world or to a new season, we're tempted to take that mindset into the new season that God is calling us in. And that mindset doesn't operate, doesn't fit in the spiritual realm. It's kind of like a snake. How many of you here don't like snakes? My wife is terrified of snakes, and there's a couple creatures she doesn't like. Snakes are one of them. But here's an interesting fact about snakes. The skin on a snake does not grow as the animal grows. And so during its lifetime, the snake's inside outgrow, listen, they outgrow the outside. And so the animal reaches a point where the older layer of skin must be discarded in favor of the new. In other words, the snake is growing, but their skin is not growing. And so what happens is that a snake, as it grows, it has to shed its skin because its skin is not growing, even though its body is growing. And so the process is uncomfortable. A snake has to rub and scratch until it's able to literally crawl out of its old skin. And you may have seen pictures before of sort of the shell of a skin left behind by a snake, because the snake has grown, but its skin has stayed the same. So in order to continue to grow, it has to shed its old skin to be able to continue to go to the next season and grow. You see where I'm going with this. Now, when the process works, it's beautiful because the snake has a new, vibrant skin that replaces the old. If the snake is unable to shed its old skin, the snake, if it can't shed its own old skin, it can grow blind and eventually die if it doesn't grow, if it doesn't shed its old skin, because its old skin doesn't grow even though the body's growing. Can I tell you this? It's the same with our mindset and our spiritual growth. If you're going to go to a new season, you have to get rid of some of the old lies. You have to shed some of the old thoughts that come from the world, some of the old mentalities that you had in the old season when you were immature, when you hadn't grown, when you were still a baby in Christ. You have to shed some of that. You can't bring an old mindset into the new season that God is calling you to. And if you're unable to shed the old mindset, then like a snake, sometimes it will paralyze you, it will inhibit you, and it will cause spiritual death to your life. If you're able to shed it in order to grow, then you can continue on to the next season. That's what was happening with Naaman. Naaman was called to a new season of healing, but he still had an old mindset. First of all, the king of Israel is overwhelmed because he thinks that Naaman is coming to him and saying, I'm going to give you this money and this gold if you can heal me from leprosy. And he's like, hey, I can't heal anybody. This is unfair. This is just an excuse to attack us. How could he have that demand upon us when Elijah the prophet, and you remember who Elijah is? Elijah is the apprentice of Elijah. Elijah's the man that went to the cave and God showed up in power. He's the man that called fire down from heaven. And after the cave experience, God told him, you need to select an apprentice. And he selected an apprentice named Elisha. Now, Elisha actually was asked for a double portion of Elijah, and God granted it to him. So this is Elisha, the apprentice of Elijah that he goes to. And the Bible says in verse 8, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. I love that. I love the fact that Elisha stepped up to the plate. Sometimes as believers, we need to be bold enough to challenge the problems that no one else can handle. Hello? Sometimes as believers, we need to say, well, there is a God in Israel. There is a God that I know. And you may not be able to solve the problem. You may be overwhelmed, but let me pray for you because I believe there's a God that answers prayer. And sometimes you need to be bold enough when people are overwhelmed to say, hey, I know a God that deals in the impossible, the miraculous, a God who nothing is impossible for. That kind of boldness that Elisha had because he asked for a double portion, and he had a double portion of boldness and a double portion of anointing, and so he was unafraid to tackle this big problem. So not only can you be successful in one area, be utterly defeated in another, secondly, you can approach a new season with the tools of an old mindset. And number three, you can let your expectations drive you away from your God-given breakthrough. In verse 9, it tells us that Naaman went with his horses, his chariots, and he stopped at the door of the prophet Elijah, who had said, hey, tell Naaman to come to me. So here's the picture. This prophet that's known throughout all of Israel as a man of God has a house. Naaman shows up with his troops and his splendor. The horses are overflowing with bags of gold. I'm sure he's dressed in his military regalia. And they show up feeling like, I'm an important man. I bring gold. I bring a letter from the king. So therefore, I should have access to the power of God or to the prophet. And this is what happens. Verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger to him. And he said, the messenger, Elijah didn't show up himself. He just sent his servant, a messenger. And he said, go wash yourself seven times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. So you can see Naaman's face go down, ask himself, hey, I thought Elisha was going to show up here. This is what the Bible says. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he, speaking of Elisha, would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over me, and the spot would be cured of my leprosy. And then with a snarl, you can hear him say, are not Abana and Parpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and he went off in a rage. Now I want you to hear me well. This is really important. I'm talking about adjusting our thinking if we're going into a new season. Can I tell you this? Listen, sometimes you can allow your own expectations to drive you away from a God-given breakthrough.
And learning how to adjust your thinking takes some patience and persistence. As you've been encouraged to make some adjustments in your own life through Mark's bold and passionate teaching, would you help provide the opportunity for someone today by giving a gift to Bold Steps? As a listener-supported ministry, we rely on the voluntary donations of friends like you who share our vision. Just click on Give a One-Time Gift at our website, boldstepsradio.org, or to become a monthly partner, click on Become a Bold Partner. Once again, the website is boldstepsradio.org. And when you give a gift today, ask how you can request a copy of our latest Bold Steps gift. It's a book by Mark that complements this study, and it's called What Now? Whether you've reached a spiritual setback, a midlife crisis, or you simply feel like you've lost your drive, at some point, all believers feel the need to reconnect with God's call. And that's what this insightful book is designed to help you do. Ignite the next chapter of your story by requesting a copy of Mark's book, What Now? Just call 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. Or donate online and request your Bold Steps gift when you go to boldstepsradio.org. Well, I'm Wayne Shepherd. On behalf of Mark Jobe and the entire Bold Steps team, have a wonderful weekend. And be sure to join us Monday for more Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.